and grill.
From here on in, it really gets grim. For 99% of the people still left at this point, they're possessed with one thing: finishing. They're saying to themselves, if I can be standing at the finish, I've won. And they're right. But for the gifted few, for our 1% that are still competing, that are still racing, they're more than standing. They're wondering, can I catch that guy up there? What about the guys behind me? Are they going to get me? Are they coming on me? Are they picking up on me? Can I get him? Because let me tell you something. This is it. The last hour of this triathlon, on the pavement at 110 degrees, that's when we're going to find out who the hell the Ironman really is.
Is when a sport sort of gets going.
Yeah.
And our first guest tonight knows a little bit about that.
Because do you think?
I think so. 30 years ago, he heard about some crazy event called the Ironman, and he was in the very first Ironman. Dave Orlowski joins us from Atlanta, where it is 11:08 in the evening. What the heck are you doing up?
Well, actually, I'm in Milwaukee, guys.
And, oh!
Milwaukee.
Oh, so it's only 10 o'clock.
The Ironman hotbed of Milwaukee.
Yeah, and the Packers are playing the Cowboys tonight, yes.
The Packers?
So I knew I'd make it tonight.
Yeah, last week, Huddle, we were going to have Dave on, and I think he just, like, was on the couch and had his alarm set, and was like, I knew I was supposed to do something. He woke up Monday. But you know what? 30 years later, Dave is training to do the Ironman.
So, Dave, you really haven't gotten any smarter at all in 30 years, have you?
Well, they thought I was crazy back then, and now they still think I'm crazy now coming back doing it. So,
hey, so Dave, tell us a little bit about how you first heard about this, and you know what convinced you that, oh, you know what, I do a little bit of this stuff. I could go 140 miles.
Well, back in 78, Tom Knoll worked in an office next door to me, and we had just completed a Around the Isle race, and there was an awards banquet at the beer garden for the Primo.
Right.
And I wasn't privy to the conversation. However, I was sitting at the same table. The next morning, Tom Knoll says to me, well, he says, are you going to enter into this Ironman event? I asked him, I says, well, what are you talking about? He says, well, kid, you just finished your first marathon, being the Honolulu Marathon. He says, now you can go for this Ironman, which was the combination of the Honolulu Marathon, the 112-mile perimeter bike race, and the 2.4-mile ocean
the Waikiki
swim around Oahu.
You're right.
So next thing I know, I was paying my $5 and signing up for this thing.
$5. Sweet.
And I had a couple little glitches to this. I didn't own a bike. So a week before the event, I borrowed a fellow Marine bicycle, which turned out to be a Sears Free Spirit.
Sweet.
I trained about 30 miles on the bike and said I was ready to go for this event.
30 miles? That's Ooh. Perfect.
You're overtrained.
All, yeah, absolutely. And you know what? I'm looking at a picture of you, Dave, and you've got cutoffs on, a visor, and some, you know, I don't know what the shoes are, but there's some sort of tennis shoe with your Free Spirit, looking like you're all set for the Ironman. No shirt, of course.
Yeah, back then they didn't have quite the strict rules, so I didn't have cycling shorts at that time. So the night before, I cut off a pair of blue jeans. So I'd have pockets to stick money in so I could make my stops at our informal aid stations, which turned out to be gas stations, food stores, and McDonald's.
Now, Babbitt, I'm dead serious here.
Yeah.
Cutoffs.
I like cutoffs.
Everybody needs to go home, get their favorite jeans.
Cut them off.
Cut the legs off.
Go ride 112.
Go ride 112 on those puppies.
Yeah. Ooh. Man.
We didn't have bio cages or any type of cages for the pedals either, so it was interesting compared to the equipment that's out there now that I'm training with.
Well, and what's interesting, Dave, is it's not like you just did the thing. You can, when people say, well, what's your best finish in the Ironman? You could say, well, I was third. I mean, how many people can say they were third at the Ironman?
There's quite a few out there, but
not that many.
I was the only one.
See?
And I don't think I could duplicate that these days.
Come on now.
Third in the world championships. You know what I love about this bike that he had, though, Babbitt? He may not have had cages. He may not have had toe straps, none of that stuff. You know what he did have, though? Reflectors.
Reflectors are important.
Got to have the reflectors.
Because you don't know. You could have been out there at night.
That's right.
Now, did you have a support crew of any sort, Dave?
Yeah, I was in the Marines at the time, but our support crew was supporting three people at the time, Tom Knoll, Mike Lloyd, and myself. So there were times that I didn't even see my support crew for probably 2 to 3 hours.
Yeah, you're riding a bike anyways. What's
the big
deal?
Had money, you stop at McDonald's, whatever, right?
That's what it was for.
Had all those pockets in his cutoffs. I mean, hey.
Now, you guys did the rough water swim that year, and did you have a good swim? Being a Marine, I'm assuming you had a good swim background.
I was a swimmer in high school,
okay.
And I did have a good swim. I couldn't tell you the exact time. I think it was just over an hour.
I could tell you exactly. Okay, Dave.
Just over an hour and 78? That's awesome.
109.15. Okay?
That's phenomenal.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah, that's Waikiki Rough Water. That's not in the Ala Moana Channel with Bob Babbitt and walking along. With,
walking with
I couldn't draft off of Bob.
Yeah, yeah. But actually, if you look at that bike split on a bike that probably weighed north of 30, I'm looking at a 7.51, which is pretty sweet. My favorite part about, I saw the original results sheet. We have it actually in the Ironman program this time. What I love about the way John Collins did it back then is notice how every time is, you know, like the swim times they got 120, 40, and things like that, hour and 15 seconds. Bike and run, everything's 6:56 even, 3:30 even.
Of course. Why mess around with seconds?
Just round up. That's what I say. Who cares about that stuff? So, Dave, any tough parts during the day for you?
When was that? On the original one?
Yeah, the original. Any surprises for you? I mean, since nobody had done it before, did you have any idea?
Of course,
how
he's
long
a Marine. He's a Marine, so nothing's going to be that tough.
Well, I don't know. You talk about the mental toughness, as they say, of this event now, and I look at the different stages of the mental toughness that I had to go through back then. I hope I can just overcome it 30 years later now. And continue on and do a good job here this year.
Dave, you're going to be fine. I mean, think about it. I mean, when you're out there back in 78, I'm assuming that they didn't just close down the whole island for you and shut down the roads.
Oh, no.
Didn't have aid stations every 10 miles on the bike.
I'm 5 miles, right?
Five to seven miles.
No, they had that.
Well, you're going to have a buffet. I mean, basically, October 11th is just going to be
a catered workout.
That's right. You're
now,
fine.
Dave, have you done it since?
I've never done an Ironman since then.
So you just figure that 30 years in between, maybe you'll sort of forget.
It's muscle memory, Bob.
It's really good muscle memory. Every 30 years. So, which means this is what? This is 2008, so your next one will be in 30 years.
Well, I'll be the first 80-year-old to complete it then, huh?
So, Dave, you must have done some other triathlon. I mean, I saw you at the underpants run a couple of years ago. That's good preparation. So, I mean, have you done other triathlons?
I've done some sprints in Olympics since 2004.
Okay.
And I've had some injuries. So this year I tried two half Ironman to see where my training was coming along. I initially had got a entry into the 70.3 half Ironman championship, so I was training for that, and I had asked WTC temporary entry into this, and in June they were gracious and gave me a entry into this.
Well, they figure that, hey, he did the, I mean, there's only 15 of you who started that first one, only 12 that finished. I'm assuming anybody who 30 years later wanted to come over and do it again at the 30th anniversary, they're going to go, hey, bring it on.
I guess if people are crazy enough, I would hope that they'd think that way.
So Dave, I mean, there's so many changes in the sport, in technology and clothing, et cetera. Back in 78, you were sporting those sweet cutoffs for the bike. Then you had this awesome, like, yellow-striped Speedo for the swim.
Nice.
Yeah.
And, you know, this deluxe pair of blue nylon running shorts with a headband. I think it's like an orange headband. Are you going to maybe go retro on us and bring all that stuff back this year?
I don't think so.
No.
I can't pick that stuff up anymore.
Does that, come
I
on,
tried to find the Sears Free Spirit bike, but nobody has those anymore.
I don't think anyone can lift those things anymore.
Really? Now, Dave, is there a special camaraderie among all of you guys who did that first race in 78? I mean, you were part of history. You created a movement that now has led to, what are there, 25 different Ironman events around the globe, Huddle, something along that line?
Yeah, right around there, yeah.
International events, the 70.3 series, Iron Girl, Iron Kid. I mean, just started, really, with that one event in 1978.
Yeah. I kept a close bond with Henry Forrest and with Tom Knoll.
Okay.
Henry currently is battling pancreatic cancer, and I don't know what the outlook is for the future with him. So, but he's coming over to cheer me on along with Tom Knoll. And I understand Gordon Haller is doing it again this year.
Yeah, you're going to take Gordon down this year. He was first.
I'm trying.
Gordon took first back then, and you took third, and so this is the rematch every 30 years. You guys go head to head.
This is a Dave Scott, Mark Allen.
It's exactly.
Rematch, right?
I was thinking Aaron Baker, Paul Nibby Frazier, Dave Scott, Mark Allen, Dave Orlowski, Gordon Haller. It sort of blends. I think all that stuff goes together.
I don't think there'll be as much hype.
I don't know either.
That's going to be a mano a mano.
Absolutely. So is Tom Knoll racing, or is he just coming over to cheer you on?
He's just coming over to cheer me on.
I mean, that's pretty lazy of him.
Yeah,
I was going to say, all he did was run across the country this year. I mean,
a couple 3,000 miles, what's a big deal?
Throwing a triathlon in the end of that, please.
Yeah.
So, I think if it wasn't for the swim, I think he would definitely give it a try.
Now, Dave, after doing that first one, obviously it's been 30 years since, was your thought, okay, enough of that stuff? Or did you, you know, were you still in the Marines after 78, and were you sent somewhere else? How come you didn't come back in 79 or 80? What was happening in your life?
Well, in 79, I was still in the Marines. I was registered. And as you know, the history of it, in 79, the first day that we came out, the weather conditions were terrible.
Right.
And there was a Democratic vote and decided to go and do it the next day. Well, I had been sick and running a fever, and the next morning I woke up at 102 fever, went down there, just decided not to do it, and cheered the other people on that were going to.
Nice.
Very nice.
Smart move. Because those waves were huge that day, weren't they? But that would have been a good day for you because you're a good swimmer.
Yeah, I've done pretty well swimming. I've since had my shoulder replaced, and it took me about 2 years after the shoulder had been replaced to get the swimming stroke. But it's moving pretty good, and I'm looking forward to the swim over there, provided that we don't have 6-7 foot waves.
I think you'd be all right.
Yeah.
I don't think we've seen that yet
in
Kailua Bay. Hey, Dave, you know, now when you go over to Hawaii, if you're doing the Ironman, it's a very well-scripted week. I mean, you know exactly what's going to happen Monday through race day and the day after. And everybody knows, you know, you got the parade on Tuesday. You've got the,
underpants,
you know, welcome
run.
Dinner. You got all these things that go on that define sort of the week of Ironman. What was it like back in 78 in terms of the feeling and the level of organization? Because I think so many people equate that and they're like, oh, you did the first one? That must have been so awesome. I mean, you know, I just think the feeling and the sense of what it was like is probably completely misunderstood. I'm sure when you guys got over there, there wasn't the whole check-in process, the special needs bags, all these things that you assume go along with Ironman.
Yeah, it was pretty much just waking up the next morning, get your bike, get your shorts, your swimsuit, and head down to the beach there in Waikiki, and off you went.
Who started it? Was there any sort of, like, at least one person with a megaphone, or was it just you guys all got together and said, all right, are we ready to go? Yeah, you're ready to go. Go.
John and Judy Collins, obviously, were the organizers.
Yeah.
John gave the briefing in the morning. The pictures that you have in the 25th anniversary book,
yep,
pretty much shows what the meeting was like beforehand on the original one.
Right.
You got your person that was assisting you in the water with the surfboard there. They, after everything was said and done, he says, okay, you ready? Started it, and off you went. I think if you looked at some of the pictures, and like you say, you see the picture of me on the bike or coming out of the water, you don't see tons of people standing around cheering you on or anything like that.
What about the helicopter?
In the finish line, there was a whole two people. It was Judy Collins and somebody else there, and I came in third. So it was like, oh, yeah, big deal.
And what did you do afterwards? Of course, you had to do your media interviews. You had to do drug testing. And then you had to sign autographs for a while.
And how was that awards banquet the next night?
The awards banquet was probably pretty sweet.
Yeah, that was all great. I guess what was kind of neat about the first one is that there was no place involved. When you got your trophy, everybody received a finisher's trophy.
Hole in the head trophy.
Say third place. Gordon's doesn't say first place. We all went out there to try and do this, accomplish something that nobody thought could be done. So we were all considered Ironman and finishers, no matter what place we took.
Dave, what was the feeling that morning on the beach? You know, you go to Hawaii now, any of these Ironman races, and there's definitely a palpable level of emotion and fear. Yeah, and was it similar to that in terms of, I don't know, the pain and suffering that you knew you were going to go through and the anticipation for, you know, being able to finish, obviously, but any sort of anticipation with regard to, you know, you're racing these guys? What was the feeling like that morning before the start among the group?
I don't think that anybody, well, I have to just talk from my perspective.
Yeah.
When I went there, I went to see if I could do this thing. This wasn't a goal to try and win it, take third place, or anything like that. I mean, I am competitive within myself, but the way this was put together, it was, let's go out there, see if this can be done, because nobody thought it could be done. So we, from my standpoint, I wasn't, like, really high stressed. I was just going out to exercise for a whole day, as it turned out. I mean, you can tell how prepared I was. I mean, I borrowed a bike the week before. You know, I'd done my running and then done some swimming. I probably ran a total of, my longest run was 15 miles and swam a mile to a mile and a half for my longest swims. But I did swim three times a week, and I ran five days a week.
But, you know, everyone should understand, too, while you may not have been specifically trained for that event in the same way that we always think of, you know, training for an Ironman, if you see this picture of Dave,
he's ripped.
Back then, he's chiseled out of stone.
Oh, yeah,
the guy's obviously a Marine. He's obviously incredibly fit. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, but it is still amazing. When you look at him standing there with that bike and his cutoffs, I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
And Dave, what did you, besides obviously, you know, taking your gels every hour or so, and you know, and your nutritional consultant who came up with your drink program, what did you eat and drink during the day? Did you stop at McDonald's?
You had your salt tablets.
Yeah,
there,
yeah.
Right?
Oh yeah, your salt tabs, and I'm sure.
Yeah, what were those? No, my meal consisted of gas stations. I water. I love Coca-Cola back then, so I drink cans of Coke for the caffeine and the sugar.
Right.
Oranges, chocolate bars. You know, I did stop at McDonald's and get a bite to eat there.
Nice.
You know, sat down, had a fries, a burger, and a shake.
Makes sense to me.
Me, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I stopped at a grocery store, and I was worried about my bike being there when I came out.
I wouldn't have worried about that. I saw
the bike. I've got bananas and chocolate barnacles. I don't know everything that I eat.
That's great.
My system was pretty screwed up the next couple days after this event.
Well, talk a little bit about that. You see the athletes after the race, and you see that glow, that post-race glow that everybody's got, and you see the limping around and all that. But you see that sense of satisfaction and sense of achievement. How was it going back to work next week? How was it? You know, was it the same? You know, obviously you're sore going up and down the curb and stairs and whatnot. But in terms of, wow, I can do anything. You know, that whole anything is possible thing that Ironman brings to the table. Was that there for you, or were you just like, all right, back at work?
That's pretty much what it was, back at work. You know, it wasn't publicized. It wasn't what it is today. I mean, now, after I finish it, of course, I'm going in with confidence that I am going to finish it. There is that glow and that feeling that you really completed a journey, you know, to get to the thing. I mean, I am training. I am nutritionally eating properly. I'm dieting. You know, and doing the whole Ironman thing right now. I've kind of trained myself and done a lot of reading and hoping to, with everything that I've done, things work out.
You know, it's going to be funny, Huddle. He's going to get out there and he's going to do all the nutritional stuff correctly. And he's going to get out there and go, there's something missing. I need something here, and he's going to spot a McDonald's woof down a Big Mac fries and a Coke and feel great. So, hey, I took third last time. The heck am I screwing around with the formula? I know it works.
He's going to hit that gas station at Honoka Harbor and, throw down some Cheetos and some Coke.
Now, did you guys, obviously these are endurance freaks from the island who did this back then. Did you have any idea who Gordon Haller was or Ian Emberson or any of these characters, or was this sort of an introduction to all these people at that event?
It was an introduction for me.
Yeah.
Tom Noll was probably the person that stood out. You know, I mean, he ran ultra marathons. He's the one that talked me into doing the Honolulu Marathon a couple months earlier. So, I mean, Tom was the only one that really stood out in my mind.
Yeah, I can't imagine, Babbitt, what it was like for that group of people. And then after the race, did you guys get together at all? I mean,
was there
an award ceremony? I mean, you guys got all the same award, but did you get together as a group and celebrate the fact that you guys had done this nutty thing?
I didn't get together with the group, and I don't remember if it was work schedule or whatever. But there was a group of people that regularly went to the Collinses and helped out with the shirt and with I know John, I think, made all the trophies himself.
Yeah, I know he made the trophies because when I did my Ironman Revisited event over in Oahu a couple of years ago to go back on the original course, John was like, well, I'll make the original trophies. And I get a call from the hotel manager, and it was like he's welding in the hotel room. Almost setting off the freaking fire alarm while he's welding this thing.
Well, at least he didn't cut out the copper pipe, you know, that he used in the original ones.
Oh, great. That is great. And so you guys got finisher shirts, all right?
Yes, we do.
And you still have yours?
I have one of my own, and then I donated one to Lou Freeland and the Gills family after the 25th anniversary.
Wow, that's a hard thing to give up, man.
Yeah,
I got
no
my
kidding.
1980 shirt. That's not going anywhere. I'm not giving that to anybody. Did you surprise yourself by finishing this thing? I mean, you go into something that, again, nobody knows if it can be done. Is it something that's going to take, you know, a day, 2 days? Did you have any preconceived ideas of, okay, I should be able to do this in 15 hours, 17 hours? What were your thoughts going in terms of how long it was going to take? And when you were walking away from the finish line, were you going, oh, my God, I can't believe I just finished that thing?
I had no clue what I was getting into, what I was going to be doing. Because, like I say, I rode 30 miles on the bike. My thought going into doing this is that I rode a bike as a kid, you know, and that was just in the neighborhood and stuff. Anybody can ride a bike. So I can at least ride the bike and finish it sometime. I felt that it was pretty good with running. Obviously, we had no clue of what bricks were.
Right.
So when you got off that bike and wearing those great shorts that I had, it was quite the eye-opener. So it took about 4 miles for my legs to get going, but then I ran great for about 12 or 13 miles. I was clipping off like 7-minute miles, and then all of a sudden I locked up, and then it was like, oh, is it going to happen? And then the legs came back, and then going up Diamond Head, it was probably a Julie Moss scene. I was on the side of the road, all bent gait up, and grabbing onto a guardrail and pulled myself up Diamond Head. The sport band came along, and my parents were in it, unbeknownst to to me. And they were just lucky enough to come over there and surprise me and run into my support vehicle coming out of the Honolulu airport.
Wait, so your parents just showed up for this event, and you didn't know they were coming?
No.
And where'd they fly in from?
I talked to a couple of people, and everybody said, what's going on? This wasn't like the Honolulu Marathon. And they seen a green Marine military van, so they flagged it down, and it just happened to be my support crew.
Where did they fly in from?
Milwaukee.
So they flew in from Milwaukee. They knew you were doing this event.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden they just run into your crew somewhere out there. There's not that many people in Honolulu.
Dave, that might have been the first Iron Spectators to fly in to see the event.
They should get some sort of special award.
Now that you say that.
So who's coming in this year for you?
I'm part of the St. Pete Mad Dogs down in Florida. So
Hey, Dave, do you have a radio on or something there?
I've got
a television.
Okay,
we're getting some weird feedback. We're just getting some wild feedback.
Yeah, that was... That was wild.
That was wild. That sounded like the Martians were landing. Yeah, you sound fine now.
Is that better?
Yeah,
that's a lot better.
That's great.
Okay. So I told a number of people that I'd rather have them there like next year because it's, you know, I'm going over there, I'm going to be training, swimming, doing all the stuff that the Ironman people do, not like what we did in previous years, going to Kona Brewery, Kona in for Mai Tais, all the fun things that you should be doing in Hawaii. So I said, I'd rather go there and show you people around afterwards and share in the energy of the week and the energy of the Mai Tais and that book.
That is great.
So there's just a number of people that are coming over that generally just go over. And I have one friend from Milwaukee. His sister lives there, so he's kind of making a double vacation.
So, Dave, you have any expectations for a time for this year, or is it just, hey, just like back 30 years ago, I just want to get through this thing?
I don't know if I should commit myself.
Oh, yeah.
Come on. No one listens to us. Commit.
You know, because if it doesn't come through, it doesn't come through. But I have been training, and I've been watching my time stuff, my running, and obviously the heat and the winds, everything's a variable. But I'd like to break my original time by at least an hour. I want to go under 13 hours.
Wow.
That's
we heard
awesome.
It right here.
There
13:59 flat last time and looking to go what we call 12 and change.
12 and change.
Anything under 13 is 12 and change.
That's right.
Yeah. So the cycling's coming along real good. Like I say, I haven't experienced the winds over there, but Wisconsin's got a lot of hills, and I've been doing 100-mile rides every week for the last 8 weeks and averaging about 250 on the bike for the last 8-9 weeks.
So. Well, that's a little bit more than the 30 miles you did before the race last year.
Yeah.
So how's the free spirit hanging? Is it doing pretty well still?
You know, I just can't give that thing up. I'm thinking of putting streamers on the handlebars this year just to upgrade it a little bit.
Nice. What are you riding this time?
I just bought a Cervelo P3.
Oh, that's the same as the Free Spirit, sort of?
Pretty close, yeah.
Same weight.
Pretty aerodynamic.
Yeah.
Nice. Good for you, man. That's awesome.
Hey, Dave, just out of curiosity, how much money did you spend at the various stores in your first race? Do you recall about how much money you needed to get through the day on the bike?
Oh, yeah, because you had to carry a roll with you to buy, go to McDonald's, 7-11.
I mean, all that stuff. You were shelling out.
Yeah, I don't recall what I put in my pockets, to tell you the truth.
But you had pockets, which is good.
Well, yeah, you got to have pockets.
Yeah.
Are you going to carry any money this time?
Well, I don't think so. I think it looks like there's enough aid, and I'll have enough stuff in my tri-bag and stuff like that.
You know what they say, Dave. Prepare for every eventuality. You may want to throw a 20 in there.
Yeah, absolutely. Huddle recommends to all the people he trains. Paula always carried a 20. You never know. You never know when you might need a cab or something.
$1 per 5 miles.
That is it.
There you go.
Hey, Dave, thank you so much for taking time and staying up late in beautiful Milwaukee. Are the Packers winning, by the way?
No, I think they just threw in the towel.
Oh, wait, I thought, aren't the Packers coming to play the Chargers tomorrow?
No, it's the Jets.
Oh, wait, that's right. Brett Favre is
used
with the
to
Jets.
Be with the Packers.
Oh,
that's our other quarterback.
That's a sore subject,
so
Huddle.
I know that.
I'll be watching closely, too.
Nice. That is great. Well, Dave, best of luck in Kona. We will see
you
in a couple weeks. And
thank you.
So, sub-13, Huddle.
Sub-13.
12 and change.
Pack your underpants, Dave.
Nice.
Thanks.
All right. Dave Orlowski, third place in the Ironman.
Third in 78.
Hey, you did the race once. He took third. He said, you know what? I'm going to take 30 years off, and I'll come back later.
Can you believe that?
I love that.
I mean, if you were third, Babbitt, if you were third at the Hawaii Ironman, would you ever do that race again?
Huddle, I was 56th at Kona, okay?
56?
No, in Oahu. I don't tell people there's only 108 of us, but I was at the top 60. What's your best race in Hawaii? Top 60.
Top 60. Top 60.